completely loaded program for you. The topic for today is going to be prayer. How important is prayer? Why do we pray? And what's so powerful about prayer? These are some of the questions we're going to hopefully answer for you today that we think is so important and kind of goes to last week's show. Okay, we tackled the Bible. What do you need to be reading? And then going into prayer, and why is having a good prayer life so extremely important as well? So many people have questions too about their prayers and why certain prayers aren't answered, or, right, you know, hey, I really prayed hard for this, but it never happened.
Right.
That happens so many times in our life. But then other times we pray a silly prayer sometimes, right, too. Lord, right, I lost my keys and I can't,
yes,
find them.
Then
we find them, like, oh, they were there the whole time, but I swore I looked there. Prayer is such a powerful, powerful weapon, just as much as hiding God's word in your heart. It's just so important. I can't just speak to that enough. So, question, is there a formula to pray? Do one of you ladies want to answer that? Is there a formula on how to pray? I know the Lord gave us the Lord's Prayer, and I know Donna has a lot to say about that one, because that's probably a whole nother show by itself.
It would be.
Lord, yeah, is the Lord's Prayer. But is there a formula to pray?
A few years ago in the 80s, there was this hour of power prayer that you would divide your hour, 5 minutes for this, and then 5 minutes for that. And I always got lost in all of that because it was, again, formulas for me don't work. They're very, very unrelational.
Yes.
There's nothing about
obligatory.
In here. Yeah, it's an obligatory thing. And obligatory things, they wane away fast. But when it comes from the deeper part of where you are and what it is pertaining to who you are, I love the fact that if you pray to God, you know, you can pray in your own language. And I'm not talking about a foreign language. I'm talking about, like, I don't pray in the King James language.
Right.
I'm just like, okay, Lord, here we go now. Mm-hmm. I cannot tell you how many times a day I'll say, okay, Lord, are you ready? Here we go. As if he's with me all day long.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think Kate probably has caught me do that a few times, haven't you? Yeah. I'll say, okay, Lord, thank you, Jesus. What, Grandma? No, nothing. But that's what prayer is.
Now, Kate, in case the viewers at home, Kate is your granddaughter who works with you at the pony farm.
Yes.
Yes.
And oftentimes it's her and I are by ourselves, and she catches me more than anybody else because I'm so comfortable with her. You know, me and her and God are just there. So if I say, yeah, Jesus, she'll say, Grandma? No, I'm good. It's for her. I don't know. No, but that's...
What you're fulfilling by this with not even, maybe you're not even aware of this, and you viewers at home should know, that is the literal acting out of 1 Thessalonians 5:17, which Paul writes, pray without ceasing. Now, pray without ceasing, you have a lot of people going, oh no, I don't pray nearly enough for that to be true for my life. No, listen to this, okay? So I dorked out. But here's some, all the old commentators and theologians that Lisa Harper has so many crushes on. Here's a few of them. Ellicott's commentary, okay? These are old school. So they're closer to the time of Christ, and they have a lot to say about what is going on. Ellicott's commentary says, Theophylact well says, this shows the way to rejoice always, to wit, incessant prayer and Eucharist. For he that has accustomed himself to hold converse with God, okay, this is all very old English, but it means to be constantly, presently conversing with God and to give thanks to him over everything that happens as happening well, meaning whether or not it happens well. Thank you for all of these things. And then, of course, we read over in James that we should count it all as a blessing when we encounter diverse trials. Well, we'll evidently have unbroken joy. Though a man cannot be incessantly praying in words, the mind may be held continuously in an attitude of prayer, even in sleep.
Wow.
Barnes Notes, which is one of my favorites. I dork out on Barnes Notes all the time. They say, we are to maintain an uninterrupted and constant spirit of prayer. We are to be in such a frame of mind as to be ready to pray publicly if requested. Now, I'm going to stop long enough to say only 2% of people in the West pray out loud.
Yeah.
So if we need to be in a constant state of readiness to pray. Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys have seen me. I'm such an idiot. We'll go to a conference and I'm the one that, like, I have I have no prayer request, but I'm running around. Do you need prayer? I've never met you. Hi, do you need prayer? And the thing is that I try to maintain a steady readiness to pray for somebody else.
But that didn't come naturally for you.
No, it did not. That was a real stretch for you.
That's a whole other story in itself is you had to stretch yourself in order to get to that point where you were comfortable doing that.
Right.
And praying out loud.
And it was quite a stretch. So Barnes goes on to say, to pray publicly if requested, and when alone, to improve any movement of leisure which we may have when we feel ourselves strongly inclined to pray. That Christian is in a bad state of mind who has suffered himself by attention to worldly cares, or by light conversation, or by gaiety and vanity, or by reading an improper book, or by eating or drinking too much, or by late hours at night among the thoughtless and the vain, to be brought into such a condition that he cannot engage in prayer with proper feelings. There has been evil done to the soul if it is not prepared for communion with God at all times, and if it would not find pleasure in approaching his holy throne. So that's very convicting.
Yeah,
but the idea is you need to be ready at any point in time to not just pray, but to pray properly. So this idea that we turned it into a formula, it's a rote, a ritual condition of the mind. I don't want to pick on any particular denomination, but some denominations out there do have a very ritualistic form of prayer.
Right.
I mean, even people that are not Christians, their own religion have moments where, you know, you face a certain way or you say a certain words, and it can only be in certain languages or things like that. And what they're talking about here with 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the pray without ceasing means always be in a steady mind and attitude so that you are prepared to not only pray when you are asked or when you feel prompted to, but to pray in such a manner as to have done so worthily.
I love the prayers of children.
Yes.
I just have to go there right now.
Yeah.
I just think that the kids, God hears their prayers that fast. And I think there are so many prayers that have been answered because little kids have said, in their own language and in their own style, in their own words, the prayer. And God says, sure, going to do that. God has three answers. It's yes, no, and hang in there.
Yeah, true. Wait.
It's yes, no, or hang in there until I'm ready.
I've seen that happen, though.
Yes.
My son, he was probably literally 5 or 6 years old. And everybody in here knows that I have weird health things, and especially before my surgery I did. And I was having something, and it hit me hard and fast. I could not even walk. And I was just standing there going like this, and I was shaking so hard, and I started sweating bullets because the pain was ferocious and instant.
Yeah.
And my son, he just came up to me, and he bows his head, and he goes like this. Didn't say a word. He goes, amen. And I mean, it was like that. It was gone, and it never came back.
I love that.
Yeah. So cute, though.
I love that.
And later on, I asked him, I said, what did you pray? And he goes, just, because, I mean, he's little. He goes, just, you know, you're sick and stuff.
You're sick and stuff.
It's so cute, right?
That's
but
so
God,
cute.
God honored that.
Yeah.
In those days when I used to travel to do our missionettes training and such, I would always look for a child to come and pray, because I felt like if God's going to hear anybody today, it's going to be that little child.
The least of these.
That was custom and very, very, I looked for those kids and I loved it when they would come in. Okay, I got it. I'm covered now.
Yes.
Because that little one prayed for me. So that's just true. They're powerful.
Yeah, you're talking about formulas for praying and things like that. And then you're talking about the prayers of children. And I'm just thinking about where the Bible says to come to the Lord as a child, with the heart of a child. So if you think about that, our prayers really should be as simple as, and with an honest purity about them. A child's not trying to manipulate anybody.
Right.
They haven't learned that yet. You know what I'm saying? And so it's not asking God according to your will because you have this manipulative thing you're trying to do, or it's just honestly looking at a situation and honestly asking God for help.
Right.
You know? And of course, all of our prayers need to be framed in, thy will be done.
You know,
I mean,
totally
it is a different show.
Yes.
But the Lord's Prayer starts.
Yes.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Recognize who he is. Recognize that he's holy.
Yes.
Thy kingdom come, thy will
Love
be done.
That.
So that's the next thing. Before I ask for anything, your kingdom is in charge. Let your kingdom be the one that resides on this earth and in my life, and your will be the one that resides on this earth and in my life. And then you go on from there to ask for forgiveness and give us this day our daily bread. That's not an elaborate prayer where you're asking for all these crazy, crazy things that may not be in the scope of what God has for you.
Right. It's not
a very modest, but it's an order of things. things where you start with recognizing God, understanding his holiness, you know, and then it does. It goes through forgiveness and asking for basic provision. And that's the model of the Lord's Prayer.
It's coming.
If we can take that and we can put that with the simplicity of the way a child looks at the world, I believe that's what God wants from us when we pray.
Well, and it's so cute, too, watching little kids. Speaking of that, Rebecca, my third daughter, she is so stinking cute. I love it when she prays. And Joe and I always, our hearts just puddle on the floor when she prays. And I finally figured out who she picked this up from, because we were like, where did she even learn this? Because Joe and I never open our prayer this way, but she always goes, Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, and then she goes into
her. Oh, that's cute.
And it's just like, oh my goodness, that is so stinking cute she does that. That's how she starts all her prayers. And she was hearing somebody else praying that she respected and that she loved and was sincere. And that's why she picked that up, was because that person was praying out loud in front of her for whatever it was. Kids pick up, though, too, on how we pray and how we talk to our Heavenly Father. Yes. You know, and it's just so fun how so they cute. Do that.
And their older siblings.
Yes.
My son, he used to start every single prayer, Lord, I can do all things through you. And my daughter, who was, I don't know, 2, 3 at the time, just barely learning to speak English, she caught on to that as the opener and just thought that's how you pray. You say, I can do all things through you. But she didn't quite get it right. So it was the cutest thing for like a year. My daughter, we would be sitting down for dinner and she'd go, Dear Jesus, I can do something. Amen. So funny, just generically, I can do something.
Oh my God.
But then me and Allie, because we wear so many hats, we were out doing one of the construction projects, and this ladybug decided to fly on the wall right as I rolled over the top of it with this paint. And I look at the back of the, and I'm like, oh, poor ladybug. And its little legs are going like this. And Allie goes, Dear Jesus, I can do something. Amen. It was just the desperation of this little bug.
I felt bad for the little bug, but it was the franticness. It just, for some reason, reminded me of that prayer. I don't know. We personify things onto bugs and animals. And
it was so accurate, though. It was very appropriate in the moment.
I love that, though, because this is how she talks to God in her own way. God hears every word and cherishes that. In fact, I'm sure he giggles whenever that kind of stuff happens.
Well, and like Thomas, he's 4, my youngest. He doesn't even really know to ask for anything. He just goes, Dear Jesus, thank you for this food. And I love my mom and I love my dad. And then he goes through the entire family.
So cute.
And, you know, that's how he prays. And he doesn't even fully understand. But you know that God understands that he's asking for health, or, you know. And actually talking about Rebecca again, that little girl's a prayer warrior. I like that.
And you brought up an interesting thought, prayer warrior. What does that mean in terms to a person who prays without ceasing,
right,
and is not on their knees travailing and intervening? Talk about that. Well, I wonder what you guys think about
I think the phrase, I want to be really careful how I frame this. I think the phrase prayer warrior gets misunderstood and taken out of context. Mm-hmm. And I think to some degree it becomes a coveted status rank within some realms of ministry.
Yeah.
And so for some people, being a prayer warrior, again, I want to be really careful how I say this, but it becomes who can pray the loudest and shout the most or be the most animated. And it's almost a competition. I had that happen one time. I had requested prayer for my son when he was a baby. He was sick a lot. And it was very difficult because these people were screaming over him and shouting, and the prayer was getting so, and he was sick and he was getting more and more stressed out.
Because
and
of the shouting,
he didn't understand what was going on. And I hate to use the word traumatic in conjunction with prayer, but he didn't understand what was happening. And I found myself going, I don't know. I got real cautious about asking for prayer with people I didn't know, because this was just a church setting and there were people there that I wasn't real familiar with.
Right.
You know, and I think the idea of being a prayer warrior, it has more to do with the fortitude and the willingness to pray through, if it takes a month, if it takes 6 months.
Yeah. Hmm.
There are people who have been praying for lost children for 20 years, 30 years, they've been praying to see their child come back to God. This is not a very fast, very adrenaline rushed, giant screamy prayer that you burn out in 10 minutes and you're done. This is a prayer warrior, somebody with the staying power. It's kind of like my daughter's a runner. There are people who run the sprints, yes, and they do them hard and fast. And then there are people who run like 5 and 8 miles at a time. She's one of those. And there is a place for both of those kinds of runners.
Right.
You know, the track meets, they have, now we're going to do the sprint. Now we're going to do the slightly longer run. Now we're going to do the slightly long. And there are places for all of these people. So I'm not saying that there's one we don't need to have.
Right.
But sometimes prayer warrior is quiet.
Yes.
Sometimes prayer warrior is, I've been praying this same prayer in my living room for 35 years.
I like
and
that.
I'm starting to wonder if God's forgotten me. And can we just be honest and be real and say that there are people who are devoutly following God, and sometimes they're looking at it and they're going, God, I prayed for this for so many years, and I'm wondering if you've forgotten about this prayer.
Right.
He hasn't. It's just that he has three answers, yes, no, and hang on. And sometimes the hanging on, you have to understand that God lives outside the scope of our human finite time.
That's right. Yes.
And he sees the entire overarching plot of his entire story of humanity that he's laid out. And we're this teensy little dot somewhere in the middle. And we're not teensy to him, but our contribution to the timeline is teensy. And so for us, it feels so long. But for him, it's just, hang in there. I'm doing something. It's not over. Haven't forgotten you. It's just that I have this timeline that's this big, and you're crunched into this section, and it feels like a long time, but you have to understand I'm doing something. And so the prayer warrior is the person who every day puts on that armor
right,
and continues to pray through no matter what.
Right. I like that you talked about that he's doing something, because we don't know what that's is, in our understanding. When you're the one that's somewhere on that timeline, you want a yes or a no.
Yeah.
Sometimes just give me yes or no, and then I would know. But when he says hang on and just, well, he's building something. He's fixing something. He is doing something, not just in your life, but in the life of those people around you who are also watching you go through this and praying through this as well. So there's so much more to that than what we want in our own little right now timing.
There's a lot that changes how we understand the Bible when we look at culture, and we understand that the Bible was written in a time of what's called a collectivist culture. And I'm going to make this super fast. An individualist culture is more where it's about me.
Yes.
So what I do in my life, it has to do with me. A collectivist culture is what I do with my life comes back into my community.
That's the family
business was handed down to other people who propagated the business further to help both the elderly within the family who were aging out and the younger ones who were coming up, and they would train. America is the most individualistic country, and getting more and more so every single day. And we have this instant gratification. So when we look at, like you're talking about, hang on, I'm doing something. You know, we look at Joseph in prison.
Yeah.
First of all, for things he didn't do. And he's positioned there. And God was doing something to save entire nations of people. But he had to sit there every day waiting. God, have you forgotten me? Why am I here? What's going on? And just understanding that to him, can you imagine 2 years of being in prison falsely accused?
Yeah.
And in a prison with those conditions, which I'm not going to get into, but they weren't our modern prisons.
Yeah.
This is a bad thing.
That's true.
And 2 years he had to deal with this. And God was doing something. And it wasn't until later that he could look back and understand. And I'll tell you one more thing, and then I promise I'll be quiet and let someone else talk. Words like why and how in the Old Testament, when you're reading Lamentations and these places where it's somebody crying out to God saying, why is this happening or how? In the original text, there are many places where these words were not set into. We see a Bible that's typeset and it's all flowed in line.
Yeah.
These were set aside and then the rest of the verse would continue. And they were not phrased as, God, I'm asking you for an explanation. Why did this happen? It was phrased more as a mourn of the soul or an inward groan, asking a rhetorical question of why or how, but not expecting God to answer the question, just needing God to understand that you're hurting.
Yeah.
And so this word comes out, how, God, how will this happen? When, God, will this happen? Why, God, is this happening? And we, in our modern individualist culture, think that this person was going, God, I am asking you to tell me why this happened. But it's not like that.
Right.
It was different. It was just a mourn from deep within the soul. God, I'm in so much pain. Please know that I'm in pain.
Right.
Moving right along with what I had to say.
Right.
And there wasn't an answer.
Right.
And they weren't expecting an answer, I think, is what you had kind of told
They were not.
Before.
No.
And we do have to take a really quick break. We just launched our Simply His product line. So, yes. So watch this and we'll be right back. So we are so excited and proud to finally be able to announce the product line of Simply Hip.
Yay! Woo!
And we've been wanting to do this for a while, and especially hearing from you viewers, we've had so many people emailing in, where can I get my Simply His coffee mug? Do you have coffee? What about tea? And what about your t-shirts? We are so excited about this. The first deal we have is our actual coffee line. We're calling it our coffee sampler because we actually each were able to pick out 4 different coffees.
It's organically grown beans, so that was really important.
Yes.
So our first packaging includes a sample of all 4 flavors.
Yes. And you can get this incredible offer for $35 currently.
Yay! It's good coffee, too.
And then we are also selling our teas. You get all 4 of our teas to taste at $28. All of our tea is organic, and it is also loose leaf.
And yes. The thing I love about loose leaf is that you can kind of decide how strong you want your tea.
Oh, and the smell when you open up that little bag, it's just you want to eat it.
And then if you're like you, you know, she just drinks all of it, including the tea.
I do.
There you go. Dude, but can we talk about the shirts?
Oh, yes. So our very first edition of our t-shirt is going to be the silver that Allie is sporting so nicely. And that shirt is actually going to retail for $28, but right now you can get it for $25. And you get one of our mugs. So our 4th and final deal is our mugs.
Yay!
So it will again be you buy 3, you get 1 free. The package will include all 4 of the colors. So you'll get an orange one, a blue one, a purple one, and the green one. So that's pretty cool. Again, we are so excited about our Simply His product line. If you want to purchase them, please go to www.skywatchtvstore.com, and we will have it on the main slider, as well as it'll be over on the left-hand corner, and you'll be able to see our store and go in there and shop till your heart's content. Welcome back. We are talking about prayer, and this has been such an amazing conversation already. And I know Donna was chomping at the bit right before we went to break. So Donna, go ahead and just jump in.
Super quickly. Okay. So there might be some viewers at home that are saying, this is all great, but it still feels awkward. I still don't know what to say. I don't have a lot to say.
Right.
And then maybe they're more wired like me. And I know you cannot tell over the TV, but when I'm not behind the camera, I'm actually kind of a quiet person. And when I'm at home with my husband might be in a completely different room than I most of our marriage. And it's right. Not like, oh no, we never visit. We are just wired to be kind of quiet, and we each go our separate ways. And he might be in this room doing something, and I'm over there doing college. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's how I'm wired.
Right.
That makes prayer for me so much harder. And I unlocked a tool a few years ago that I want to share with a few people, because maybe they feel that way too. And they go, I would pray, but I don't even know what to say. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. The word of God is a conversation from God.
I love
and
it.
So when I go to my husband, if it's just me, blah, 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 that's a one-sided kind of relationship. And
Right.
very quickly, if that was our relationship, that would be boring very fast.
Of course.
But what I've discovered is that God speaks to me, and I answer and respond while I am reading the Bible. Now, some people would call this prayer line by line, precept by precept, and that comes from Isaiah. Unfortunately, it's very misconstrued, and that line in Isaiah is not exactly what a lot of people think it means. It's a little bit of a smackdown, but I will say that if you've heard that, that's probably what they're talking about. The way that I pray is I sit down and I read a verse out of the Word, or I'm studying in my college or whatever. And in that moment that I realize, oh my gosh, this verse means this, I stop everything. And sometimes I'll do this at my desk. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes it's not a big spiritual moment.
Right.
And I'm just sitting there going, God, I had no idea that verse meant that. I'm preaching that tomorrow. You just rocked my world. God, that is so cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for showing me that. That's a conversation.
Yeah.
That's
right.
A prayer of gratitude. That bubbles up from within me because I'm excited about what God just told me. So sometimes prayer is listening as much as it is talk, blah, blah, blah. Right. And when you read the word, if it reveals something to you, opportunity to pray.
Yes.
Thank the Lord for what he's just revealed.
Yes.
Yes. And again, there is no formula to prayer. You can pray anywhere. You can stop whatever you're doing. I think I had said this on maybe one of the other episodes, but my favorite time to pray is, well, two places, in the shower, because it's usually sometimes the only time. we'll premise that. It's sometimes the only time I'm alone.
Let's there be are honest. Always kids banging on your door, no matter where kids. You're at. Mom, mom.
So I do pray quite a bit, though, in the shower. When I do have those times when I'm alone, because then if I tell Joe, hey, Joe, can you take the kids? I just want to go take a, we call it a relaxy shower in my house, because, you know, it's a time where you just go and you enjoy the hot water, whatever. But that actually has doubled as my prayer time. Sometimes I'm just in there. Okay. And I'm having a conversation, like you say. The other time is when I'm in the car. I've just dropped all the kids off where they need to be, and now I'm on my way to work.
The other time you're alone. You see the pattern here? She's alone in two places, and those are the places she can carry on a conversation with God.
But it's important, you know? And do I go into big, long, detailed prayers? Not always. Sometimes it's just a simple conversation. And like you said, sometimes it's just that constantness throughout the day. I'll be at my desk sometimes. Oh, Lord, this day is going somewhere, and man, I need some help. Yeah. You know, and that happens constantly. So trying to stay in that state, I guess, you could call it a state of prayer, is kind of more of what you need to do than having, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to pray for an hour. Having a prayer list, that is great. I know my dad has one. He has it written out, and he'll, you know, add and take away things from his actual prayer list. And he will. He'll go into his prayer closet or wherever he's at, and he will pray for each one of the things that's on his list. Joe does something similar, but his list is kind of in his head. But, you know, he has people he prays for every day. He has certain things he prays for, and there's nothing wrong with that. My brain is going too much that I don't always have that opportunity. Right. Okay, I have to have my prayer list, and these five people are on it, and then those four people are on it, and I have to pray for this situation. It's not about that. Yeah. If I have something that is heavy on my heart, that's when I pray about it. You know, but I do stay in that constant state of, okay, Lord, help me be what you need me to be today. Help me to be that someone to someone that gives them that word of encouragement or that love or whatever it is that we need to do.
I would just like to add one thing to what you just said, and that is that I know that in our viewing audience, there are people out there who pray for us because we get letters.
Oh, yes.
And I just want to say thank you
so much.
There have been times we have felt that, and please continue to do that. We covet your prayers.
We do covet
That's the only
prayers.
Time it's okay to covet.
Right?
We covet your prayers. Please, please.
Yes,
and we appreciate
please continue
that.
To pray
thank you
for
very
us.
Much.
That's we couldn't do what we do without those prayers of you at home and the people here in the audience.
Yes.
We couldn't do any of this without you. And of course, it's that totally awful time of the day. We are out of time again.
Aww.
We really hope you enjoyed this episode of Simply His, and we will see you next week. Have a wonderful week.